If you want to have an executive involved in FinOps, please listen to this episode. We are going to talk with Borja Martinez from Entity Data about what makes a FinOps dashboard useful for executives and what types of executive decision does FinOps allow. If you want to know the importance of FinOps, how to make your executives involved, and how and who should work on FinOps and pursue a career on it, please listen to this episode by FinOps Weekly. Starting, you know, with the very first question that I have for you today, Borja, is that, you know, for companies to realize the importance of FinOps, what companies would lose if FinOps ends up disappearing today?
That's not a good idea, definitely. Yeah, say maybe the accountability, I would say, is the main thing they will use, you know, the ability to know and to understand who is spending what and why, to also control the cost. It's not just to spend less, it's just control the cost. You have to know if your bid is going to be higher or lower than the previous month, for example. And also, FinOps help you to make more informed decisions and therefore better decisions. And also, I think without FinOps, teams will also lose the ability to continue speaking different languages or working in silos. And definitely, FinOps will help on that.
Definitely. Yeah, I totally agree on that. I think that the communication and the being able to understand what you are spending on, and it's not, you know, only cost reduction, as we always like come from. I think most of us come from the cloud cost reduction idea, and then, you know, you adapt and you learn about the business value and related to it. And I think that's what, you know, triggered us to continue doing FinOps, right? And I think you were very, very on point with that. But, you know, diving up on the business value. So where do you have seen like unexpected business value from FinOps, like realization from companies that FinOps works on the business value and not only on the cloud cost reduction side?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's not unexpected, but it's not the usual way, but there are some things related to product company, for example, related to the product pricing or investment in features. For example, to realize that the free tier of a product is generating most of the cost of an infrastructure. So this led them to change their pricing strategy. And same thing could happen with a feature. If you deliver a new feature, but you realize that it's costing a lot of money and it's not delivering the value you expected, this helps you to change your strategy.
Definitely. I think that, like, especially now with the, you know, the AI part and all of this, that you have a lot of cost drivers that generate a lot of cost impact in the consumption, and you can say like free tier or subscription based, and then you realize that you're spending more on your customer than you are generating from them. That's crucial, right?
And the other side, if your preview tier is expensive enough to compensate that, it will be okay. But for most of these kind of companies, the free customers are huge and bigger that amount than the premium. So I think it's worth it to adjust the features you are offering in your free trial or rethink the architecture of your application or things like that.
Yeah, and you know, for doing these adjustments, like, what do you think are the metrics that actually matter, you know, most when you are measuring like FinOps success, FinOps implementation on your side?
One of the things is the allocation. So, you know, you have to be able, as I mentioned before, to know who is spending what, and then also the commitment coverage, the waste, the predictability also, and the budget. It has to be accurate, and and also I think another important thing is to mention that in this some metrics should be connected to the business. So it's not just an amount of money you are spending. So what we're spending is with revenue or with some product or business metrics.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well that you know, connecting to business is the most like important thing. That's probably what you know drove me to FinOps. It's like, okay, this is business related, this is cloud, you know, management with business, like, and I like a lot the business side and the finance side of things. So you always need to relate to how the business is going, because that's what's going to matter at the end of the day to the company.
Yeah, I can remember some of our first conversation, you know, more than 1 year ago, I don't know how many times, but yes, we were talking about that. So I think it's very, very, very important. And also, at the end of the day, the business is who is driving the company. So everything you are doing, you have to connect to the business and to deliver value to the business.
Yeah, and that's why one of the reasons I think that, you know, FinOps is not going to disappear tomorrow, because it's such related to the business value, and business value is, you know, what drives the economy, that it's not going anywhere else if, you know, cloud cost, and especially with the expansion to Cloud Plus continues, then all the IT spend is going to be probably under the practice. So, you know, talking about the cost, and What's the, you know, the mistake in FinOps that you have seen that is the most expensive one that you know or you have heard of?
I can't remember something specific, but nowadays it's always surprises me that there are a lot of companies with a lot of waste, idle resources, you know, like RDS, disk, ABS, virtual machines, and when I say big amount or huge amount, it's like thousands of resources, and still is surprising me, because, you know, it's a lot of money, it's wasting a lot of money. So I can understand, but
yeah,
a lot of resources.
Yeah, totally. I think that, you know, waste detection is also one of the, when I see, like, you know, I analyze lots of content and I see like trends on the what people are searching for. Waste detection is one of the most, according as long as, you know, automation and of course FinOps for AI, which is like other type of waste. So definitely some of these are very important, and I think it's like the very first topic. Then you have your architecture and your resources as efficient as possible without waste, and then from there, you know, you can improve and you can make it better, but you know, waste detection is some of the things that needs to be
this is also related to what we were talking before, to the business value. So then I know some companies maybe starting doing FinOps on the cost, they have the visibility to the cost, they want to reduce the cost, but they are not focusing on what is driving this cost. If you start in that way, you have to look for, okay, this cost comes from here, and this is costing this cost, and these resources, what is this resolution using for? And then you realize that the resource is decided and you are and not using it at all, and then you can remove it. But if you only focus on the cost, maybe you lose that.
Definitely. You know, you definitely need to be related to that. And, you know, also one of the, when I was saying the hottest topics, is that one of the most repeated topics is the, you know, the executive buy-in. How do you get the executive to take action on FinOps? And, you know, all these topics to get leadership involved in the process. So what do you think are the executive decisions that FinOps has enabled that weren't, you know, possible before or weren't aware before for the executives?
Yeah, I think the decisions maybe remain the same, you know, because that's the executive jobs.
Yeah.
How to make decisions. But the difference, I think, is the way they are facing that decisions. I think now they can make decisions with better information, better data, so they could be smarter decisions. and definitely more informal. So this is about investment, about planning, where to place a workload, for example. So these kind of things that they are before FinOps, but now I think they can and do it in a better way.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's the informed decision, the ability decision to have in the context, to take the right decision on that. So, you know, talking about the context is like, for you or from your experience, how do you translate like the cloud cost or the IT cost information to you, like insights that executive people can take action upon?
I would say adding context, no? I mean, adding the business context is very important, because just the cost number means little or even nothing. You can spending more than last year. This could be a good view if your revenue is going higher than your cost. So I think you must show the value IT or technology is adding to the business, and also depending on the audience, the C-level or the executive you are in front of, you must adapt your metric. Maybe if you are with a finance persona, maybe the predictability or the accuracy of the budget is more important. And if you are with a business or product persona, connecting that spend with the revenue or the product metrics or the features you're delivering is these kind of things.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, putting the things in perspective, now that we have, well, such amount of personas or different people involved in the different amount of stakeholders involved in the process, right? And, you know, one of the things that have been important in FinOps has been the visualization. You mentioned it before, and dashboarding has been one of the first steps where FinOps started going. And you know, for you, what does a good FinOps dashboard look like for an executive? What does it have to be on that dashboard?
Yeah, question, I think. Depends on the company, like always. But I think the main thing is that it has to be simple, you know, pretty simple. Less is more in these cases, because they usually have a short time and they need to see quickly the value of FinOps. And I would say it should have maybe one number about the current cost for this month or for the quarter, and also the trend of the cost for comparing to last month, to last quarter, then a tracking or comparative between the forecast and the budget, and then some KPI also about efficiency. I think it's also very important that maybe the coin or the effectiveness rates or something like that to track the efforts and the optimization that the FinOps team are doing. And from that, maybe include metrics connecting this spend to the business that we were saying before. So, you know, cost per user, cost per transaction, things like that. But very, very simple.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think, you know, relating it to the business, which is something that they should always care about, and, you know, being able to track the evolution as well. Like, you can have the two metrics, like the, you know, cost per whatever, and then the, you know, the revenue per user and the cost per user, let's say, and you have it as a trend. That's a fairly simple thing that you can do, and you can change user for, you know, order, whatever, so that you can track how the cloud cost is impacting, you know, the business.
Yes, I think you have to find or to talk with the business people to find the better metric or the important metric for them for that business, and try to reflect that in your dashboard.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, let's imagine that we are, you know, these executive people that is in charge of the cloud costs, and, you know, they are seeing these, let's say, these dashboards. So if you were in that position, like, what do you think are the questions that executives should be asking to their teams that you think they are not asking right now, and, you know, should impact their workflow?
Well, I would say maybe, and this is a bit, stop asking out just about the cost and start asking more about the efficiency, about the outcomes they are, the business are achieving from IT or from technology. You know, things like our technology spend compared to our revenue. Are we getting more value in the products or areas where we are investing more? So maybe we have to change our focus to invest more in other products, features, or how much revenue is this new feature we just launched leaving? It's worth it to continue developing this feature, or we have to take another path? You know, things like that.
Yeah, I would say that's our very sort of good question. I think it's, my experience with executives is that the first questions are like, let's reduce cost, and that's because normally there is a lot of ways, which makes totally fine. Like, probably like the first question, see if FinOps is going to be related to like cost reduction. And then from there, you build upon the practice to drive to business value, right? Like, they understand a lot the business value orientation more than probably, you know, engineers like me or, finance, finance even maybe a bit better, but product, all of these people, right?
Yeah, that's what I would say. If you are able to speak the same language that they are speaking, it will be easier to engage with them, to have this executive buy-in. And I think from that point, your work will be easier.
Yeah, definitely. And also, you can, if you are lower in the, let's say, in the company hierarchy, you can always, get first your manager involved, understand that your manager, and then, they'll be able to help you upon if you have like a, I always say that if you have a good manager, then in the professional side, you have most of it for helping you achieve your goals and being able to achieve your objectives. So, go slow, but go with the right support that you can get, FinOps on your company.
Yeah, at the end, just focus just in the cost is, they can see the cost. You know, it's to see the cost for the last month is very easy. You can go to whatever tool or whatever native scanner tool, and that's easy. But then you have to add this business context to the cost, the allocation part, these kind of things. That is not just the cost and the visibility. You have to grow your idea.
Yeah, definitely. I think cost without the business value doesn't mean anything. A company could be let's say Google. Costs are probably monstrous, and then if you are a small company and you have that cost, you're probably on bankruptcy. So you always need to drive the value and the revenue to that. So, but thinking about we have talked about the importance of FinOps, the executives, and talking about roles, I would like to know, you can talk to the audience about your story, about how you involved in FinOps, because we discussed this before in a Spanish episode. But, what's your story in FinOps? And from your perspective, who should be considering a career in FinOps?
Well, my background, I was a physical therapist, mm-hmm. Some years ago, but then I decided to move to a career in technology and in cloud specifically, and I always have a lot of interest about the companies, the business, the finance side. I was an entrepreneur before that, and And when I face Finos, I think it's a perfect fit. You know, he's mixing this part of technology, more technical side, then the business and the finance side. And I think the very broad, very extensive. Maybe as people, maybe like you, no? If you are an engineer and you have more curiosity about business and finance, or the other way around. You come from finance, business, and you are interested in efficiency. I think in the FinOps community or the FinOps world, we are seeing many, many different roles and many different people coming from different backgrounds. I think another role I'm seeing a lot is like product managers, that they are used to work with people from different teams at the end. And this is what is FinOps about, a very important piece of FinOps, and they are used to it. So maybe it's a good background.
Yeah, definitely. After all, there is a multiple roles that you can do. You can do, more analyst type of work. Then you can do more engineering type of work with these automations and all of that. And then, of course, you have the management side, which is like you're leading a team that is specialized on FinOps. And then, of course, we have the finance part. We have the procurement people, which is dealing with all the contracts, the renewals, the licensing, the agreements, the discounts, all of that, which is, I think, one of the interesting things, and also the finance people that is like making the magic in the in the accounting side together.
Yeah, there is a lot of procurement people. A lot of managing people, different kind of people, maybe with different interests at the beginning, but to be able to connect them and to work for the same goal.
Yeah. Definitely. That's one of the, I think, one of the most interesting things in FinOps is the variety of and the diversity of roles. And, with this diversity of roles, like, what do you think are the skills that are most valuable when you are entering in FinOps, independently of the, let's say, on the role you are coming from?
I would say I always believe in curiosity. So you have to be curious. You have to have this feeling that you must know or learn different things and grow in your learning career, and also the teamwork, the empathy. You have to be able to position yourself in someone's role, to understand what are the interests, and then also some technical skills and business and finance. That's how I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think you have to be like a hack of all trades, let's say. So you need to master like a lot of things. You need to know finance terminologies. You need to know a bit of engineering or, let's say, contracting. Well, if you are in procurement, it's less, but after all, you'll end up learning. And, it's a lot of skills. And also, on the soft skill side, what do you think is, the two, three most important apart from the curiosity that you just mentioned?
I think the ability to communicate properly, to prioritize also, because when you start in FinOps, you are seeing a lot of different possibilities or recommendations or activities to develop. And you have to understand what is more important than the others, and to prioritize that. And I think it's to communicate properly to the rest of the teams, and drive them to work together.
Yeah, that's totally true. I think communication, like, is one of the most important things probably in life as well.
Yeah.
So it's definitely one, and also being able to transmit and adapt the message as we just mentioned to the right audience, it's key. But I'm curious because I've seen I see a lot of questions and a lot of comments on the careers, on the roles, on FinOps, how it's going to be, etc. All the evolution, because it's a very early, let's say, practice. So where do you see like FinOps careers or FinOps roles evolving in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years? I know it's very difficult, but what's your guess?
I think because nowadays with this, well, this technology evolution, AI and everything, very difficult to predict something, you know, for the next year. But I've seen, as you mentioned before, talking about the roles and everything, I'm seeing some trends, like one is this FinOps role in a vendor, in a FinOps vendor, you know, being the expert in the FinOps domain, helping internally with the FinOps language to product, to sales, to everything within the company, but also helping outside the company to the customers to adopt their FinOps practice around the platform, the tool they are selling. And I think this kind of role, it's very, very useful. And I think these kind of companies, they give more and more this role, no? Another role maybe is the more, you know, classic FinOps engineer. let's put it that way. Which I think automation has to be mandatory, and you have to automate as many processes as possible. And then another role is like the FinOps, you know, head of FinOps or FinOps lead or things like that. That this is managing the strategy around FinOps within the company. Relations with other teams, with executives, we were talking, the collaboration and all of that. Which I think maybe it will change the focus or broaden the scope, you know, beyond cloud, a lot of more technology spent. But I think at the end, the high level activities will be very, very similar. Maybe with a more human component, and here maybe the AI, I don't know, the role of the AI in this kind of relations or this kind of things.
Yeah, I totally see that, and also I would add that, you know, the procurement people are getting more specialized people in procurement for FinOps, like very into that specific role and not, you know, every procurement thing, like, you know, specialized FinOps for procurement people would be very interesting to see, because I happen to know, like, of course I know Alexa from the FinOps Cashflow newsletter, and I know other people, and, you know, they are like, their knowledge is super, super specific and super valuable, because they manage like huge amount of money, that way more than I can be doing in the engineering side. So they are crucial to the FinOps practice.
Yeah, out of the commitments, the contracts, and the licenses, and all of that, I think they're becoming more and more important. And also, we are seeing that in the last focus release. They have a specific data set for that contracts and commitments. So yeah, it's becoming more and more relevant.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's why one of the thoughts that I had when starting that the FinOps Cashflow initiative is like, okay, I don't have the space or the knowledge to have these people a room, but I want them to be involved. And then it's like, let's put like their separate stuff, because they manage, like, they are super important to the FinOps practice, and they need their own space, because it's fairly different of what an engineering or someone more technical would do. But, you know, I'm thinking about the, you know, if someone, let's say, that is listening to us today, and, you know, they want to start their FinOps journey, like, you know, tomorrow, on this Christmas, they want to prepare on Christmas. What's the one thing or the advice that you would give them to do on Christmas side?
Well, I believe that nowadays, start learning something new is easier than ever.
Sure.
You have a lot of information on the internet, you know, with the ChatGPT or Gemini's of the world. But I would say start with FinOps.org webpage that has a ton of content, covers to FinOps, Finos Foundation's YouTube channel with only summits and Finos Tech Talks, and join the community. And the best thing, I think, is reaching out to people to ask questions. I think we all have been there asking questions.
Yeah.
So yes, and also, also your work with the Finos Weekly is also delivering a lot of articles every week, and they're very, very useful, and it's a good place to summarize everything what is happening in the Finos space. But I think definitely talk to people, reach out to the people, and this is the best way to learn something new.
Yeah, definitely. I think in the past episode with Alexa, we talked about that she just reached out, and she comes from the, from teaching, which is like English literature teaching. And it was like, how do you make a transition? And she was talking about the interacting with people, being able to talk, understand how it's working, how it's going, mentioning joining the community, such as mine or the newsletter or all of that. So you have like a lot of information that the different communities pool, and I'll have all the links on that if people want to join, and start working, start understanding. You will see like from repetition you will the knowledge, and you will see like certain terms are what is this term, then you'll dive deep, and that's I think what happened. We go to the rabbit hole, and to understand all the language, I think it's one of the most important thing, because otherwise you wouldn't understand hell of a thing that the people are talking about, right?
I think start with the assuming your content, and start with the theoretical concepts, and then you have to learn this to the reality, and I think talking to people, that's the point where it's more helpful, to listen to real stories
and also have to say that from the beginning, like joining this community, like the FinOps community is one of the most like open minded in terms of like the people is always open to talk, like Borja and I talked like since the beginning, and I had like no idea about what FinOps was, and I met like a lot of wonderful people from that side. So people is always open to talk, and people is always open to in any kind of level, any kind of things, like if you are very new or if you are an advanced practitioner, the people is and the community is always wanting to welcome more and to help you, right?
If you think that what you are asking is very silly, it's not. I think we are we all have some this kind of questions and always doubts to reach out to people and ask them this, but I think it's worth it to ask every question you have, and as you mentioned, I think everyone is very, very open. I can't compare it with other community in technology, because I come from another background. But yes, and also if someone wants to reach out to me, and I'm willing to help anyone in the journey and on everything.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'll leave all the links to contact us in the description. But contact and reach out, and get more people involved in this wonderful practice. So if you want to know more about spectacular career transitions to FinOps, such as the one that Borja had, we had the episode with Alexa, which comes from teaching English literature to becoming a FinOps author and the creator of the FinOps Cashflow newsletter. If you want to know more about her story, please listen to this episode. I think that was all for today. Borja, it was a pleasure to have you. It was a pleasure to know more about the executive side, which you are mostly related on, and the importance of FinOps and how to have like a good career. So great to have your story, and thanks for being here today. A pleasure, and see you all in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.